morning, everyone. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. Thursday in the Doghouse is both an online and on-air free class all about dogs. If you listen to us on a regular basis, you'll become a very well-informed dog owner, and you'll learn why dogs do the things they do. We discuss their health issues, their emotions, their body language, safety concerns when they're with children, and the many sports activities you can get them involved in to provide good exercise and have lots of fun. Don't forget that if you can't catch the show on the radio, you can listen to podcasts on my website. Just go to www.jerseydogtrainer.com and click on the page marked Rini's Radio Show. You'll see a list of all sorts of subjects that we've talked about. Click on one of the links or any of the links that you want to hear. Then sit back, relax, listen, and learn. My guest today is Jennifer Shryock. Jen is a certified behavior consultant and professional dog trainer from North Carolina. She specializes in educating and working with pregnant couples and families who have both dogs and young children residing together in the home. As the mother of four children, dog owner, and foster home, Jen offers the experiences and lessons of daily life with kids and dogs, combined with professional knowledge of child development and canine behavior to help provide safe, fun, and practical solutions for the entire family. I'll be asking Jen many questions today regarding some very complicated situations that people find themselves in when they bring their new bundle of joy home to meet their dog for the first time. Before we talk to Jen, please let me tell you what services I offer as a professional dog trainer in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. We're on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Rini.
Thank you so much for visiting with us today. You and I have had some long discussions on this program before about how to prepare a dog for the arrival of a new baby. But many couples can wind up facing some serious and complicated situations after they bring their new bundle of joy home. How often do you get calls from people who are really feeling desperate because they brought the baby home and they're not really quite sure how comfortable their resident dog is?
That's actually a really common call that we do receive, and many families have concerns and questions about how their dog's responding once they bring the baby home. And just part of postpartum and after you have a baby, you can be overwhelmed in general, let alone trying to find ways to include your dog. So preparation ahead of time helps, but people often still have questions.
Okay, yes, I would imagine that they would. So if someone has a dog and they've not been socialized around babies before, is there hope that the dog can become acclimated to the baby once it comes home with the mom?
Sure, absolutely. In most cases, actually, things work out just fine. It's really a matter of how mom and dad and the whole family tries to include the dog in everyday baby routines. We, for example, have four dogs. All of them are rescues, and we have no idea what their background was with babies, but, you know, when we brought home my daughter, who's now 10 months old, you know, we exposed them. We did a lot of supervised activities, structure, and they have all done extremely well. The key thing is to allow your dog to be a participant in a safe, supervised way so that they become familiar with the baby in the house.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that some moms will call and say, because she's very nervous, because I get these calls too, that they start separating the dog from the child, and they're not putting the dog anywhere near the child because the mom is just too nervous? What are the ramifications of that?
It's a very complex situation, and I fully understand how new moms, especially in that vulnerable time, can really feel like that's the best option. However, it is not the best option because it keeps the baby as a novelty, and the dog is not familiar with that new baby. So ideally, we'd want to work on some management. Some things that I use is common to have a tether system where the dog can be secured and the dog can then watch everything that's going on with mom and baby, mm-hmm. and still participate in the room and be there, but can't get quite underfoot. And that way, mom can control the distance. The other things, if they have not prepared ahead of time, tethering is a good option sometimes. Crating, gating, there's a lot of different ways that we can include the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really discourage people from putting the dogs outside and separating them 100%.
Right. And don't you think the dog might get the idea that anytime the baby's around that, you know, there's something wrong with him, that he has to be isolated from it?
You know, in general, the dog's going to pick up on that stress. And if mom's not comfortable with the dog being around, there's a general discomfort overall that's being felt and sensed. And that's not going to help with acclimation with the baby. So mm-hmm. we really, if there is a parent or someone's having a hard time with this, I really encourage them to reach out to a professional dog behavior consultant, dog trainer, who knows about this type of transition. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do to make mom feel comfortable and help the dog to acclimate much better, too. Yeah.
We talked about tethering, and I always advise people to tether their dogs, but most people are not familiar with what that is. I mean, people could tie their dogs out front on the lawn, which I'm not really in favor of, but can you go into just a little bit of a description of what tethering is on the inside and how safely that can be done?
Absolutely, and I agree with you. Tethering out in the yard is absolutely not what we're referring to. That's very unsafe for dogs and for passing by children and everything else. But when you use a tether or even just a leash in the house, it can really provide the dog with a sense of security, comfort, and they know what's expected. I call tethering spots success stations. So what I might do is have a 6-foot lead or a 6-foot unchewable tether around mm-hmm. sturdy object in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I can secure the dog to where I want them to be. I can toss treats to them for good behavior, appropriate behavior. I can, you know, they can lay on a bed. They can, you know, enjoy being an active participant in the room. I just can control where they go and how they respond, you know, how they respond sometimes.
But how long of a line would you put a dog on, Jen? Would it depend on the size of the dog?
How long of a tether?
Yes.
It depends on the size of the dog and the activity that we're trying to manage.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I have a wonderful, very enthusiastic pit bull who just, he's very enthusiastic. And when I brought Kelsey Ann home, he wanted to be with me. And for him, we did start him out at a 4-foot tether. Gradually, when his behavior calmed down and he was able to be there, we extended it to 6 and then to 8, and then he was free to roam.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, it's a whole process. And I talk a lot about this on our Dogs and Storks blog because it's something that I really feel people need the guidance with a professional to work through so that it doesn't become a negativity for the dog. We mm-hmm. really want it to be a positive experience.
Right. So what type of tether lines do you recommend, especially when a dog is chewing the leash?
I actually have a website that's very good. It's pettethers.com.
Right.
And I really love these tethers. They're very, very good, very safe for dogs, and they're so adaptable to many situations.
Mm,
so
they come in different lengths.
So it's pettethers.com. It's a great resource.
Okay. So even yourself, I know that you have a multiple dog household, and you had an infant that you brought home. So do you find, or did you find it more complicated to have more than one dog and to have to acclimate all of them to the baby?
Absolutely. every dog has different personalities and temperament and sensitivities. All of our dogs are very unique, and so nothing is quite the same for any of them. Introductions mm-hmm. happen different for each one of our dogs.
Okay.
So, for example, my German Shepherd, who he's a large shepherd, he's about 100 pounds, he's a rescue as well, he has a very good response to my voice commands. When I ask him to do something, he's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very comfortable with him coming over and sniffing Kelsey Ann on her feet and legs versus, say, Windsor, who doesn't have a lot of self-control and his body's kind of everywhere.
Right.
You know, each of our, and then I have a female Malamute Shepherd who, she's gone through the baby introduction process before with my other daughter who's now 9.
Right.
But, again, it's a new baby. She's 9 years older, and so we have to factor all that in. So it's a new experience for her, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, multiple dogs, you're going to have a lot more to consider, and it should, you know, you have to look at the individual dog. But also, too, Rainey, if you have a dog that's experienced a baby coming home before, now you have to factor in the age of that dog, along with the fact that you have more chaos in your house.
Right.
With multiple children.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So that's a huge topic, and that's really, I think a lot of people make a mistake and think, okay, the dog has already been through this. It'll be fine. Yes, most of the time it will be fine. However, you have to realize that your attention is going to be in a lot of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for those who are having kids very close together in age, you may have a toddler and a newborn in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that can really, really create a lot of tension for especially a senior dog.
I think a lot of things, a lot of dogs become very stressed also when the baby first comes home. I mean, everybody has so much company coming in and out of the house, which is not part of their normal routine. And I think that that creates problems too. Don't you agree?
I agree. That's a very stressful time for dogs. Again, you know, there's a lot of things to take into consideration to make that easier for the dog. Even, you know, one of the things that I suggest is having guests, if they're familiar with the dog, you know, have them take the dog out for a walk or do something to burn off some of that anxiety and energy.
Right.
But, again, having a lot of people in the house, for some dogs, this is, you know, it's a major transition and dynamic shift and change for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Some become fearful, some become reactive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's best just to give the dog a frozen food dispense toy and let them go have fun in a quiet place away from all the activity.
Right, right. Tell us a little bit about how obedience plays a role in this. I think obedience is kind of, so not kind of, I think it's critically important, but what type of cues would you say you most focus on when you work with a dog like this?
You know, there's a lot of different cues that we use, but just thinking about my everyday life, for example, with our dogs, you know, they have an upstairs cue and a downstairs cue so that I can always be sure that they're either ahead of me going or that, you know, it's safe for me to go up and down the stairs. So that's something we practice.
You mean because you have the baby in your arms?
And so that's something that we have to do. The other thing that is incredibly important is an out cue. You know, if I'm in a room, I suggest, you know, say to the dogs, out. And they know, okay, it's out of whatever room we're in.
Right.
Sit down. Leave it, drop it. Leave it and drop it are huge when you're going to have children.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So those are really important things. And then you can add some fun things. I mean, you can add fetch. You can add, you know, bring it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many things that are helpful. But the more your dog knows about a command and what's expected of them, the more opportunities for them to be successful during stressful times. It's really important.
So just because you've had experience like this, I'd like to kind of gain some knowledge just from your own experience. How long did it take all of your dogs to settle down once Kelsey Ann came home?
Well, again, that depends on the dog, right? So within hours for my shepherd, who is extremely high anxiety, you know, at first he was extremely reactive when we changed her diaper, and I had to remind myself to go back to everything I know and, you know, tell him what I want him to do. So Duke, go lay down. Duke, go, you know, get your ball. I had to give him something to do. Within the first day, he was laying on the couch and, you know, next to me and actually calm. But I will say that even if once they settle in the beginning, you know, you have different stages. Like right now, we're going through Kelsey Ann's walking, okay?
So right.
She's 10 months and she's walking, which is not really what I want. I would like her to wait until a year or 14 months, but she's wanting to keep up with everybody else apparently. But, you know, all the stages that the baby goes through. So even, Renee, if they do really great in the first introductions, and most do, like I said, I wouldn't, you know, pretty much there's no problems there. Every new stage of development for the baby and all the new milestones is going to create a new situation for your dog. So that's more or less what I'm having to deal with, is that when we introduced the swing, that was a new experience. And even though we practiced ahead of time, when you put the real thing in there, it's a completely different scenario than a doll that does nothing, you know?
Right.
So it's ongoing. This is ongoing. It's, you know, it's for the rest of their lives. It is ongoing education and management and responsibility of the parent to continue to watch their dog and help them through, you know, some of the stressful times.
Okay. All right, so they're getting used to the real thing. When you did your desensitization work, you worked with a doll, I'm sure, and you worked with the CD to teach your dog what the sound of a baby's crying was like. Do you feel that that helped at all?
I do feel that it helped me, okay, because what it does, and this is what I feel, for some dogs, the sounds of baby CD, it is incredibly critical as a part of preparation. Some dogs are reactive to that, and it really helps mom and dad prepare for that reaction and to tell their dog what they want it to do. So that's their natural response. They're conditioned to say, yes, that's so-and-so. I want you to go lay down, all right? So, you know, I feel it's really helpful for us, while we're expecting, to go through the motions, to role play, to do these things. Now, I will say that having done all that, I still had a dog, two dogs, two out of four of mine, were incredibly reactive to the real baby, which is not surprising, you know. So any baby sound, your baby's cry is going to be unique and different. But you have to remember, too, that newborns have a cry that is meant to be an alarm. And it's going to provoke curiosity in your dog. And so families need to expect that. And even though you've prepared ahead of time, that's going to help you to know how to handle it when your dog responds and says, ooh, what's that? Then you say, you know, you can default to what you've been practicing.
Right.
That's what I feel is the most important thing about carrying a doll and the sound CD, is that it prepares you to act and respond positively, calmly, so that, you know, you create a safe situation for your dog.
So when you put the real baby in the swing versus putting the doll in the swing, did you get much different reaction from the dogs?
No, but I can honestly say that when I put my baby in the swing, I thought, oh my gosh, how low to the ground this thing is. How low. It's doggy level.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it really... It took me a while. I mean, you're putting a 7-pound infant, 8 pounds. I felt incredibly vulnerable. So, you know, we watched like a hawk. We watched to see what the dogs would do. And again, the way I introduced the swing was different with all my dogs. So Windsor, who tends to be, you know, his tail, he's got a wonderful tail that wags nonstop, but it's like a whip, right? So I had to do some tether work with him and help him to see the swing, see Kelsey in the swing, and calm down before I would let him roam freely around the house. But again, different dogs. You know, my shepherd, he was fine. He might go up, sniff, and say, yep, that's still Kelsey. Okay, go lay down. The Siberian Husky was so scared of the swing that he didn't care. He just stayed away. And my senior dog, you know, really could care less. You know, she's not at all interested in those things right now. So, again, it's different. It's different for every dog.
So you use the word reactive.
Mm-hmm.
So let's put a little bit of a definition on that. What, when you say reactive, what is the worst you've seen when you've worked with a client or your own dogs around a baby?
Well, for example, when I came home and we changed Kelsey in for the first time, our shepherd's eyes got extremely big, and he was, you know, he's normally a very anxious dog, but he became what I would consider very aroused, not sure what that was. Again, the cry triggered him to just be over-the-top excited, and it gave me that moment of, oh, my gosh, you know, and any new mom's going to feel that. I mean, you feel very vulnerable with your newborn. And so I had to really remind myself, go back to the default. Duke, go lay down. Mm. Yes, that's Kelsey. Go lay down. Instead of yelling at him, you know.
Right.
Because you want to, you know, when you're scared, you can become angry or fearful. You react out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where practicing helped us. The other response was with Windsor. He had no idea what the crying meant. He barked, he growled. But again, having him on a tether, allowing me to toss treats whenever Kelsey Ann was crying, whenever we're in the room, exposing him constantly and providing him with, you know, I want you to lay down. Here's some treats. Good job. Good dog. All those things, within a couple days, it was much better.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely much better. So those are the kinds of reactions that I've seen. I've also seen dogs that do growl, fixate on baby, but that is extremely rare.
What is a mom to do if she hears her dog growling when the baby is around? That must be a pretty scary situation.
It is a scary situation, and, you know, you have to really stop and wonder, you know, again, as we respond out of fear, you got to know that growling is also triggered by usually fear. So you want to provide your dog with a comfort, whether it's a command, cue, that kind of thing, and then immediately contact a professional who can help you with that situation.
What?
But you have to understand why the dog is growling and what triggered that.
So should they correct the dog if the dog is growling?
It really is not the best option to correct a dog who's growling, because growling is really a form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like your toddler coming up and saying, Mom, I need help.
Right.
And you wouldn't, you know, want to correct your child for saying, I need help. I mean, basically a dog is trying to communicate with you, I'm uncomfortable. And that's what they're communicating. Keep that away from me. I don't know what to do. And so this is going to be my response right now, you
mm-hmm.
know. So, if we correct a growl, there's a good chance not only will the dog create a negative association with the baby, but also, too, they may not choose to use growling as a form of communication down the road, and you might end up with a bite versus some other communication that would help us to resolve a situation.
Right. That, I think that's the worst or the hardest thing to get across to people, that they shouldn't get angry with the dog for growling about anything. We know that it means that the dog is warning. We don't want to hear it. It's not something that we're thrilled to hear, but the dog is communicating that he's uncomfortable about something. And so if we turn around and we shake our finger at the dog and say, don't you ever growl, or we hit the dog for growling, then we have no warning system there.
Right.
He's really doing us a big favor, and we need to listen to that. And I think a lot of people get their egos into a twist.
Right.
We can't think about egos here. You can't think, well, gee, I'm feeding you, I'm housing you, I'm giving you a good life, and then you turn around and growl at me? Yeah, he's turning around and growling at you because something's happening in his environment that you need to remove him from. So
well,
I think,
and exactly right, and just like we have to learn how to get along with anybody living with us, it's important that we, in how they communicate, it's important that we respect and honor and really pay attention to how our dogs are going to communicate, and
mm-hmm.
that is one form of communication.
So let's say now, Jen, your dogs are all, they're pretty good with the baby. Now your child is becoming mobile and is going to be crawling. What happens now? Is this a whole nother situation?
This is a whole nother complex situation, and this is where problems usually do arise. Is a lot of people will allow their dog to crawl up, I mean their baby to crawl up to the dog.
Right.
And that's a really big mistake. You know, Your baby moves in an unpredictable way, and dogs count on consistency and body language. And so when a baby crawls up to a dog, that's putting a dog in a very vulnerable, conflicting situation. And again, they're going to give subtle signals letting us know that they're uncomfortable, licking lips, turning away, changes in breathing patterns, and then they might, you know, even growl.
Mm-hmm.
So we really never want, especially toddlers and young babies, to close the gap of space there. We never want that to be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important that parents understand that.
You know what I'm finding in my business, and I've seen this over the years, and I even saw it yesterday working with a lovely couple who just don't know. They have a Great Dane puppy, a very large, gawky Great Dane, four-month-old puppy, and they have two children, and those children have been playing with their dogs outside without supervision, inside without supervision, and things are happening. You know, the Great Dane is jumping on their daughter's shoulders. She is nipping at everybody. Actually, one of the younger sons is roughhousing with this Great Dane puppy. And so it's, you know, people just don't get the concept that there must be adult supervision. Is this also something that you find?
Yeah, adult supervision is critical. You know, if an adult is not in the room, the dog's going to defer to their natural responses, and especially when it comes to play behavior. My goodness, play behavior with dogs, if you've ever watched them how they play, they use their paws, they use their mouth, and last I checked, we don't have a bunch of fur around our necks to
really?
Help us with that, even with a dog with good bite inhibition,
right.
And a dog that's using soft mouth. It's just not okay. So
mm-hmm.
We really, when it comes to children, we have to provide them with adult-supervised, structured activities so that not only is the dog successful, but the kids are successful and safe.
Mm-hmm.
And what kids learn in their home about how to treat animals and how to treat dogs is what they're going to practice outside with other animals. And it's really best that we introduce the right ways to interact and the safe ways.
Okay.
Accidents happen. Mm-hmm. You know?
Jen, we have about a minute to go. Can you quickly tell us about Dogs and Storks and tell us where people can contact you or see you on the web?
Absolutely. People can go to dogsandstorks.com. That's our national program that prepares families with dogs for life with baby, before and after baby. We have about 65 different presenters around the country. And then my local business is familypaws.com. But I'm in North Carolina, but there's a lot of information on my website that could be helpful. And I encourage any listeners to feel free to contact me and check out our blog, which is also up on the website.
You're a wonderful treasure. You really are. Every time I talk to you, I learn something new, and I've used you also as a trainer. Hey, I need some advice. Help me out. How do I handle this? So I thank you very much for joining us today, and I know we're going to talk soon, and we'll set another date for you to come back and educate us all.
Great, Renee.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Thank you, listeners, for listening today. Please be sure to tune in next week from 10 to 10:30, and I promise that we'll have a great show for you then, too. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Who let the dogs out?
Was nice, the party was bumping.
Hey-ya.
And everybody having a ball.
Ha,
ha. Until the fellas started in calling.
E-B-I-O.
And the girls respond to the call.
Ha, ha,
I have a poor shot.